Well, good morning. Good morning. Let's go to 2 Peter. Hallelujah. I want to draw your attention to something this morning. Because see, each and every one of us here, I believe you wouldn't be here if you weren't seeking something from God. Every one of us here not only is seeking something from God, but we're just seeking to learn how to be with Him where He's at. I want to also give you a new signpost this morning. Okay? Because in Matthew 7, verses 23, I think it talks about, you know, it's not always those who do the miracles, signs, and wonders that are known by God. Because some of those people, He's going to say, go away, I didn't know you. So I want to give you a signpost, that our signpost is this, that we come to be known by God. Not only are we going to be with Him, not only do we operate in those things that He shows us to operate in, but we're going to be known by Him. Known by Him. And you know, I believe that's an election that you make in your spirit, because He's already made the election for you. But there's something that happens in your spirit where you begin to pursue Him. You begin to pursue Him and make yourself known to Him. Because see, we can pursue the gifts, but pursuing the gifts in and of themselves is not the case. That's not the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail is to know Him and be known by Him. So as we begin to do this morning, I want to just draw your attention. I've taught some of this here before out of 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 2 says this: Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. I want you to understand that grace and peace here, this sentence goes on several verses. Grace and peace is the subject of everything that we're about to talk about. His grace and peace being released. Why? Because of the knowledge of God. See, when we begin to pursue the knowledge of God, then understanding of grace begins to appear. See, when I began my pursuit out of Ephesians 1, I began to ask the Lord for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and I've asked Him almost every day for months and months now. But guess what began to show up in my life? Grace. Grace. More and more understanding of grace. The more that I begin to pursue the knowledge of Him, the more I have an understanding of grace, because grace is who He is. Christ is the revelation of grace. He's the revelation of grace. So as I begin to pursue it, that begin to understand it. Now all of a sudden, it's beginning to be manifest. Verse 3, seeing that His divine power. See, this is a comma there, a semicolon. It's all one sentence. He hasn't finished the sentence. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Comma. For by these, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Escaping the corruption that is in the world by lust. Let's take a look at this. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Love. See, there's a progression that begins to happen in the Spirit as you begin to understand and operate in the grace and operate in the knowledge of God. See, these things begin to become evident. These are works that do happen, but they don't happen to qualify you. They happen to you because you've been touched by God. It's not something that we manufacture. It's not coming out of our own self-effort. It's coming out of the grace of God working in us and through us. This is the backdrop here for what He's about to say. But notice that there was one final thing in verse 7. Where did all that culminate? The operation and the working of God culminates in our life in what word? Love. 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 So hold on to that thought. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sin. When we begin to hold on to this truth that we've been given, when we begin to hold on to and value this righteousness that we've been given in God, when we value those things and begin to cherish those things, we can hold on to it. We don't back up from it. When you begin to cherish what God has done, that's what he's talking about when he says, remember. Remember the things that were done. Remember the fact that when I found you, you were lost and in sin. If you remember that, then that gives you a platform to begin to have a righteous, a joy over what has been done for you. Hallelujah. Therefore, brother, being all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing, the thing you must fix in your thought is that he's called you. It's his calling, his choosing. He ushered a call. He issued a call for you. He chose you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He chose you. He made an invitation and he put it out and said, if you will come, I'm here. If you will come, let me be magnified. If you will come, I'll bring salvation. I'll bring restoration. I'll bring truth. I'll bring wholeness. I'll bring wellness. If you'll come. See, he made the call. We get to choose. We get to choose. See, as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, entrance into the eternal kingdom of Lord and Savior will be abundantly supplied to you. It is still referring back to the grace and peace operating in your life. In this way, entrance into the kingdom of God is granted unto you. How much? Abundantly. Abundantly. The abundant release of the kingdom of God happens for you by the operation of grace and peace in your life. Now, Donna brought something to my attention here. That word entrance is translated in many places as a way. Translates here as entrance. It means a gate. But it also means this. It comes from a root word that says a pathway of thought. A pathway of thought. See, our entrance comes from the pathways that we begin to make in our thought. When we begin to have a thought, there's a pathway that happens. And that pathway is formed. And what we do with that pathway, where that pathway goes, is what determines where we go. Where this pathway originates and where it's going to take us. But it's a pathway of our thought. See, we do many things. We don't even recognize that there's a pathway of thought established. When we go and we sit down, guess what? There was a pathway of thought that told us how to do this. There was a pathway of thought that happened subconsciously in my mind that said, this thing will hold me up when I sit down on it. That pathway of thought's been refined over the years in your life. But at one point in time, you looked at that chair and you go, what do I do with that? Now, you were probably this little bitty and you were climbing up into the chair. If you're like my son, you were climbing up on it so you could jump off of it. But at some point in time, there was a pathway that was beginning to be established. Somebody wrote me and said, oh, I'm so sorry, you're ill. But 5 years ago, we had a little accident on some jet skis. And so I wound up being in the hospital right over here across the street for a while. But out of that moment, when I first was trying to get back up out of the bed, I realized because my hip was broken in a couple of places, and the muscles no longer worked the way they were supposed to work, I had to relearn how to walk. But see, you can control every one of those muscles in your legs. I watched my sister walk, and then I just imitated it. So if I walk funny now, then blame her. But I just imitated what I saw because I could begin to form a pathway. And at first, I had to think about how to move each muscle up and out and over and down and back. And you know what? Very soon, it became a pathway of thought that I never even thought about. A pathway of thought that I began to be able to walk in and rejoice. So our pathway of thoughts determine how we respond. When someone comes up and gets in your face, there's a pathway of thought that occurs. That pathway of thought wasn't a pleasant exchange. I didn't think about how am I going to bless you, brother. I was really thinking more about how far can I lift you and is it going to be far enough? There's a pathway of thought that happens in our responses. See, a lot of times we wind up doing things in our lives and in our marriages and in our covenant relationships and in our business and everything else because we've done it that way before, not because we actually think about it. See, that's what strongholds are. Strongholds are nothing more than a negative pathway of thought. A pathway of thought that leads you to nowhere. A pathway of thought that leads you back into the destruction that you came out of. I never understood, and I'll tell you what, last night I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He called me, he texted me and said, you know, I've been delaying calling you. And when I found out who it was, he said, but call me, I want to talk. When I found out who it was, I said, yeah, he's been delaying calling me. I haven't seen him in like 30 years. I Facebooked him and witnessed to him about a year ago on Facebook. And last night, he decides he wants to call me. This gentleman realizes now, at 52 years of age, that he doesn't have a direction in his life. That he needs to know God. And he wanted to know, how did I come to know God? And so I got a chance to share with him. And hopefully he'll get to be here one of these days. Lift up and just ask the Lord, that gentleman, and to bring him here. Because, see, he's still walking in all the things that I walked in as a youth. And it's not a pretty scene. He's seen the weight of that and how that's manifested in his life and how it's destroyed so much around him. But you know, God has a plan. And God has a plan for life, even for him. And that's what we're decreeing. When we begin to understand that we're being controlled by these pathways of thought, what we need to understand is then if we'll activate correct pathways, right actions will come from right thoughts. Right actions will come from right thoughts. When we begin to change the nature of the pathway of thought, then the response and the result will become different. Our entrance into the kingdom of God comes from the change in the pathway of thought. In the military, they break you down when you first get there. You go to boot camp. They break you down. And then they build you back up. Why? Because they want to take you out of your pathway of thought and put you into their pathway of thought. Doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. It's their way. No matter what you came out of, they're not interested in what you came out of because they're going to take you out of it. And they're going to take it out of you. And once that's done, then they can begin to rebuild you in the mold that they want you in. The reality is, maybe we should have some spiritual boot camps. Where we begin changing what we've been brought out of. And we begin building us up. You know what? Acts 20:32 says this, that he will build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified in Christ. He will build you up. You know what? Grace comes. It says grace comes to build you up. Guess what? It's going to change some of the ways you think. It's going to change some of that old history. It's going to change some of those old responses. There's going to be a new pathway that's formed, because that pathway is going to lead you into a new thought. That pathway is going to lead you into the kingdom of God. There's going to be an entrance that happens because the grace came into your life. Because grace came to change and to mold and to build you up and to give you an inheritance. Hallelujah. Give me an inheritance, Lord. But I want you to understand this. I'm talking about more than just renewing the mind. We're talking about accessing the kingdom. Renewing the mind is a process that does have to happen, and it definitely should happen. But we're talking about also changing our understanding and our access in the Spirit. Go to a very familiar scripture, Hebrews 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, the evidence of things not yet seen. The evidence of things not yet seen. See, when we're creating new pathways in the Spirit, we have to begin to understand faith is the evidence of things hoped for. What's hoped for? What is hope? Hope is a conviction within yourself that what has been is not what shall be. I've said that before. What has been is not what shall be. Because see, as we begin to understand what has been is not what shall be, then we can begin to have an expectancy for something new. An expectancy that this mess that I found myself in ain't going to stay here no more. That this stronghold I've been walking in, I don't have to walk in no more. That these bondages I've had on me, they're going to fall off because I don't need them anymore. That's what happens when we begin to change the way we think. When we begin to understand and have an expectancy, that we begin to look for God to do something a new way, this hope, faith, springs forth. Hope springs forth. And faith springs forth. See, faith requires a new pathway of thought. A new way of thinking. I can't stand and look for my freedom if I still think the old way. If I'm going to have faith that my tomorrow is going to be different, I'm going to have to understand that something's going to have to change. I'm going to have to understand that my access to getting there is for understanding that something's going to change in my thoughts. My understanding is going to change. How many believe if I let go of this box, it's going to fall? This don't weigh much. But it falls pretty much every time. Doesn't it? Why is that? Because there's a law of gravity. There's a law of gravity. So how does a plane that weighs hundreds of thousands of pounds get off the ground? Because there's a law of aerodynamics. There's a law called lift that supersedes the law called gravity. And when that law begins to be known, we begin to have a change of thought that everything has to stay glued to the ground. Now we can begin to understand, how do we supersede the law of gravity? Because it took a new thought when the Wright brothers began to understand and look into the law of lift. They had to have a change of thought. And lots of people thought they were crazy. Because they began to see something that other people didn't see. And they began to believe something other people wouldn't believe. And now we know that if we put wings on this box, it'll lift. When I let loose of it, it'll fly instead of drop. When we understand propulsion and lift. The things that have kept you in your stronghold are the same. They got to change. We got to find out what law supersedes those things. When we begin to understand the law of Christ supersedes the law of this world that we live in. When we understand the law of the blood of Christ over us, then we can understand that sickness has to leave. When we begin to see that there's a law called salvation, it supersedes the law of the lost. It supersedes the curse that was on us because of the nature, Adamic nature within us. It supersedes those things because the law of Christ has come upon us. The law of Christ begins to lift us up, up and out and above that problem, that circumstance, that situation, that stronghold, that sickness, that disease, that financial loss. Whatever it is, it lifts us up. Suddenly, boxes fly. If you don't believe me, look back to some of those early planes. They were boxes. Boxes fly because there's a new law in town. There's a new sheriff. And when we begin to understand and shift our thoughts and begin to quit believing the evidence that we see with our eyes and begin to believe the evidence we see with our faith, then we can respond to a different law. It's a new path of thought. That path of thought leads us into newness of life. That path of thought leads us into that freedom, Tina. That path of thought leads us into the understanding. That path of thought leads us into the multiplication of grace and mercy in our life. And guess what? That's where your inheritance comes from. That's where your inheritance comes from. When that path of thought begins to be established within you, that's where your inheritance comes from. That's why we acknowledge all things that are good in us in Christ Jesus. Because as we begin to acknowledge, we're not just saying rote scripture. What we're doing is we're supplying the Lord with a new pathway of thought for Him to operate in our head. I don't look in the traditional terms for a message now. What I do is I begin to allow Him to build a new pathway in my thoughts. I'm not studying out, I'm studying Him. Because as we begin to do so, then there's a new pathway of thought that begins to erupt and begins to come forth and inevitably it's bubble forth on its own. And He does the same in your life. He'll do the same in your life. You begin to understand and stand before the God of all heaven and earth. When we begin to come into the place and rejoice with Him and just be glad to be in His presence and be known by Him, then suddenly there's a new pathway that's formed. And some of the old things that we saw, some of the old things that we believed, begin to fall off. Those things that were bondages begin to fall off. Hallelujah. Anybody ever just gone out into the woods? I love to go out in the woods and just walk. You know, I used to take my lunch and just go out in the woods and just pray in tongues. And I would walk back and forth. Find me a spot out there and walk back and forth if I couldn't find a log to sit on. And walk back and forth. You know what happens? As you walk back and forth, you stay in one pathway all the time. Begins to form a rut. Begins to form a rut. What's a rut? It's a grave with the ends kicked out of it. You know, that's what happens when we have a negative pathway. But when we have a positive pathway, it brings us into the glory of God. When we begin to understand and establish a new pathway, it begins to release a new understanding and a new wisdom. You know, I've seen what I can do. I've seen what I can do, and I wasn't impressed. But when I see what God does, it's a whole nother picture. It's a whole nother picture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes, when we're working in this pathway of thought, we have to become aware that we're no longer that person that we used to be. It's as simple as that. We used to be that person. Sometimes the enemy continues to deal with us with familiar thoughts. Sometimes we call them familiar spirits. Because we continue to respond even though we're not that person anymore. But when we begin to see and know and understand and apprehend with our thought, have an awareness in our understanding, I'm not that person. I no longer have to respond to that. I no longer have to do that. When depression comes knocking, I don't have to say hello. That's good news for somebody. Because that's something that just ran in my family and ran amok among the people. And I don't have to respond to it. The more I begin to understand that that's not me. It was me. It was familiar to me. But it's not me any longer. When we begin to understand the new pathway, the goal of that path is to become known by God. The most effective thing that I can tell you to do on that is to become aware of His presence with you. Because as you become aware of Him being with you, it begins to change your expectation for yourself. As Daddy God is walking alongside me, He makes a pretty good Daddy God, doesn't He? If Daddy God's walking alongside me now, all of a sudden, with my expectation that He's right here, I'm not going to do anything that disappoints Him, am I? I'm going to be looking and see, what? Oh, okay. You want to say this, Miss Lily? Your best is yet to come. Amen. As we walk alongside, as we become aware of His presence, as the more you become aware of His presence, the more that you can begin to reflect those qualities and characteristics that are Him. God is love. We're not going to do that on our own. God loves us with a love that's so far above and beyond anything that we can understand. He has a love that's without expectation and without demand. A love that is without expectation and without demand. That's God's love. Guess what? You don't know any other love like that. Even our love for our kids, we have expectations. And sometimes I have some demands. And I think I'm justified in those demands. Even my wife. I still have some expectations. And that's as close as I can come probably to a love that's totally unconditional, a love that gives rather than receives. But even there, I have some expectations. Let's be honest. God loves us in a way that we dare not hardly even begin to identify with, because He is God. Because He is love, and His love is manifested in Him for you. Okay, Ephesians 3, verse 17, Ephesians 3. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. To all the fullness of God. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. You know, I've always looked at that as so that I could know and receive the love that Christ has for me. That's not what it's saying. This is the love that the Father has for Christ. It's the love that He has for Christ. And every one of us can understand the magnificence of that love. Why? Because Christ was perfect. He was without sin. He was already with the Father for all time. He was the rightful heir of all things. He always did the will of the Father. So we can understand the Father having a love for this perfect Son. But you know what? There's something we need to understand here that's even bigger than that. Because you'll have to notice that all those things that I described were about Christ's qualities. But the love of God is not about Christ's qualities. The love of God is about God. And His love, the quality of His love is about the quality of the giver, not the receiver. It's a new pathway of thought. The love that He has for you is the same love that He has for Christ, not because you qualified, but because Christ qualified for you. And that same love, He's saying, know this love that surpasses all understanding, that surpasses all the wisdom that you can know, everything that you've ever had in your experience. I want you to begin to embrace the love that I have for Christ, because it's the same love that I have for you. That should rock your boat. That should be a new thought. A new awareness. See, as we begin to rejoice in the newness, awareness, we can be free. As we begin to experience and know that the love we've been loved with is complete and total. It's not based on our character. It's not based on our works. It's not based on anything we've done. It's about Him. Jesus. He provided us the way. He provided us the way. He gives you an access. When He said that no one comes to the Father except by Me, He came to give you access. He wasn't doing an exclusion. He was showing you a signpost along the way. He was giving you a clue so that you knew where to go. And you knew how to go there. But that same love that He has for Christ is the love that He has for you. I want you this week to begin, as you celebrate your Thanksgiving, and you celebrate with your family, embrace Him with that love. I know not all of them are lovely, but embrace Him with that love. A love based on the giver, not the one who's been given to. A love based on what God has done for you. A love based on the love that our Father has for us. And begin to just walk in an awareness of His presence with you this week. Because as you begin to do so, there's a new pathway that's formed. And that pathway is going to lead you to life. It's going to lead you, like it says in Ephesians 3:19, to the fullness of God. And that's what we're after, the fullness of God. We all want to see signs, miracles, and wonders. We want to see revival. But revival starts in our heart. It doesn't start with my neighbor, it starts with me. So I just encourage you, we're going to dismiss the service. I'm going to have Van play for us for a few minutes. Just come and worship the Lord and Savior. Worship Him out of the newness of your creation. Worship Him in your heart and thank Him for that love that He shared with you. Know that we love you and we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.